Good morning and welcome to Newbury Baptist Church on Easter Sunday. If you haven't said it already, turn round and say Happy Easter to someone, will you? Oh, I haven't said it to these guys. Yeah. Happy Easter. And there is the pandemonium right there. Let's come back together. Today is a very special day. It's Easter Sunday. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and all that it means. Today is a special day too, as Peggy will be witnessing to her faith in the act of baptism later on. And I want to say a greeting to her family who are joining us via Skype from South Africa this morning. So good morning to you. And we welcome you here with us. I hope you've noticed these absolutely gorgeous flowers, and there's some on the way in. They're just stunning. I walked in this morning and it just lifted my heart to see them. So thank you to those who've done those for us today. On Thursday evening, I'd love you to come and hear about what's happening next with our buildings. We've had some people on the property development team working really hard, dotting I's and crossing T's and doing lots of investigations. We're now at a point where we can tell you what will happen next. It's all pretty exciting. I would love for you to come. If you're not a church meeting person, then just make an exception this week, maybe, Thursday evening. Come and join us and find out what's happening next. I would love to have you there with us. And the other thing I need to mention this morning, because it's really very important, is that there are cakes after the service. So if you could just save me one, that would be nice. Those have all been provided for you at the back. Now, I'm not a massive fan of being very noisy, but on Easter Day out, could you stand up first? Let's stand up. We need some breath in our lungs for this. Now, what I'm going to do in a moment, I'm going to say to you, the Lord is risen. And you're going to bellow back at me, he is risen indeed. But I just wonder, could we do it loud enough for somebody to have a real shock walking down Cheap Street? Wouldn't that be fabulous? You know, so somebody's walking past the end of the car park and suddenly I hear, he's risen indeed. Who knows, they might even come in. Anyway, let's try it. The Lord is risen. Let's sing together.
Amen.
Father, we thank you on this Easter day that hope is born anew. We thank you today that hope eclipses sorrow. On this day, even the bonds of death itself are broken. Father, this day, as we lift voices and hope and faces to you, please make your almighty presence known in our midst. Fill our hearts with hope anew. Let us know that you are here and you are powerful, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
When we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away.
Sit down. Now I'm going to invite those going out to Chatterbox to make your way there now, because you're going to come back and join us a bit later on in time for the baptism. I don't know how much of you saw, but it was a spectacular Easter morning this morning. There was still a very early, massive full moon just hanging over the town as I walked down to the sunrise service. And then this beautiful, beautiful pink and purple sky as Easter dawned over Newbury. What a day. What a day. Let's stand as we sing together. See what a morning. Let's stand. Thank you. Please sit as Claire comes to read to us. Thank you.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 20, the resurrection of the dead. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
Thank you. We'll come back to that in a few moments. Whenever somebody's baptized, we say to them, is there a song that is particularly special to you? And the song that Peggy's chosen is I Am a Servant. Let's stand and sing it together.
Servant in my master's home.
Please sit down. Let me be very honest with you for a minute. If there's no resurrection, then Peggy's wasting her time. And all of this is a sham. And we could all be doing something else this morning. American poet John Updike wrote a poem called Seven Stanzas of Easter. I love this particular quote. If the cell's dissolution did not reverse, the molecule re-knit, the amino acids rekindle, the church will fall. And it's not just the church, it's everybody in it. Think of Paul, who wrote the words that Claire read to you just now, probably the earliest ever account of the resurrection, written less than 50 years after it happened. Think of him for a moment. He had staked absolutely everything on the truth of the resurrection. His reputation, his relationship with his own family, his status, his place in society. Ultimately, he would stake his liberty and his very life upon it. If there is no resurrection, then he says, verse 14, what the heck are we preaching for? If there is no resurrection, verse 14, he says, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. He goes on to say in the next verse, more than that, we're false witnesses. Listen, if there is no resurrection, then people like Paul and people like me have been lying about God because we've had the audacity to tell people that he's powerful. And he can reverse even the effects of death and dying. And people like Paul and I have quite simply been lying to you all. And he's not God at all. If there is no resurrection, he says, verse 17, then our faith is futile. Then our faith simply runs away like water poured out onto hot sand and it all just disappears. If there is no resurrection, verse 18, he says, then the dead are not raised. He says, and those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If there is no resurrection, then I can never again stand at the front of a crematorium chapel. I can never again stand beside a grave and say to the weeping relatives, that person is not lost. You see, if there's no resurrection, it all falls apart. A Christian faith without a resurrection is utterly useless. But of course, he says, we did have a little mistake earlier on, by the way. We almost stopped the reading at verse 19. Verse 20, Paul says, but Christ was raised from the dead. And you know, I usually use this with the children, but I thought, hey, why not? Let's have it with the adults this morning. So I've got some things in here I'm going to talk about, but I'll put the pictures on the screen because they'll be a little bit small for you. And here's the first one. It's not on the screen. Well, I'll just hold this for a minute whilst it appears on the screen. It's very small, but we will have it in a second, I think. It'll come up in a minute. It's a little tiny cherry. Go back to verse 20 if you've got it on your laps in front of you. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. How does he describe him? The first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. In my parents' house, well, my mum's house now, there's a flowering cherry tree. It's a beautiful thing, and every year it foams with these glorious pink flowers. And once, just once, it bore one single cherry. And my father put it on a window ledge so that he could dry out and he could take the seed and he could plant another tree. And then my mum and dad went away and my granddad came to stay with us and tidied up the piece of rubbish off the window ledge. And that poor tree had tried all that time to produce a fruit and just one. And then it was gone. It proved to be not only its first, but its last fruit. And it would never flower again. And in fact, now the blinking tree's been chopped down anyway. Not so with that first fruit on Easter Day. Not so with what happened in the garden on that first Easter morning, because what happened then was the first of millions and millions and millions of fruit. You see, once the physical reality and the process of death has been reversed, then anything becomes possible. Do you know, before the first ever nuclear detonation, there were people in the scientific community who were petrified that the chain reaction would be unstoppable. That actually it wouldn't just be the things contained in the blast itself, but it would go on and on and on and on until every atom in the whole created world was split. It didn't happen, thankfully. But you know, what happens on Easter morning is an unstoppable chain reaction. That's why Matthew's gospel, if you go to the end of it, talks not just about Jesus rising from the dead, but other people coming out of the tombs and walking around the city. The physical order of the universe was interrupted and overthrown that day. The world was changed forever. Somebody was talking to me the other day. Think about this, when they all come back in later. Somebody was saying, most of the children who are 8 now or less than 8 years old will never drive a car. Because by the time they're old enough to, they'll be driverless cars. Isn't that a thing? Isn't that weird? But it's a tiny, tiny change in the world compared to what happened on Easter morning. The world changed forever at that moment. And so the risen Christ becomes like the first fruit, like the first ear of grain for a harvest whose dimensions we simply cannot imagine or calculate. Because it upsets the apple cart of the created order where things don't normally go from life to death and back again. Because at that moment, that changes. So, Easter morning and the resurrection becomes the first fruit of an incalculable harvest. The rolled back stone and the empty tomb usher in a whole world of impossible possibilities. And it becomes possible to transcend our human weakness, and all kinds of things that we never thought we could grasp suddenly become possible. I love this from Rowan Williams talking about the New Testament. He says, the New Testament was written by people who were still trying to find a language that would catch up with a reality bigger than they had expected. The stories of the resurrection, especially, have all the characteristics of stories told by people who are struggling to find the right words for an unfamiliar experience. No wonder it was unfamiliar. It had never happened before. But he says, it's the first fruit. It's the beginning. So that's the first thing coming out of this little treasure chest. Let me get another one out for you. It's a little tiny piece of lace. I'll leave it out down here later on. You can have a look at it. And I'll tell you the story of that piece of lace in a moment or two. I love the first word of verse 20, if you've got it open on your laps. Those three letters are the most transformative three letters in the entire English translation of the New Testament. But, you know, Paul has stacked up all these things that will be issues if the resurrection didn't happen. He's described how the whole thing is going to fall apart, and then he transforms it all with those three letters. But Christ has indeed been raised. You see, for Paul, that transformed his outlook, and it transformed life itself for him. When people tried to close him down, he spoke up. When he got a rough reception in Corinth, he listened to God, he took a deep breath, and he raised his game. When people put him in prison, he sung and prayed and waited for the angels to turn up. When people put him on trial, instead of trying to cover up what he'd been preaching, he laid it out for all to see. when his prison ship ran aground and he only just escaped with his life. He preached the gospel to anyone who would listen. When he ended his days under house arrest in Rome, he went on speaking and preaching and setting out the terms of gospel until he literally had no breath left with which to do it. You see, for him, those three letters, but absolutely changed it all. The resurrection overcomes our weakness way before we die. The resurrection overcomes our weakness so long as we live in Christ here, now, and today. And it allows us to overcome so many of those restrictions. Let me tell you about this lovely little piece of lace. Once a year, I used to go and lecture in a Bible school in Serbia. And I lectured on two different occasions on the book of 1 Corinthians that we've been reading from this morning. Quite an interesting experience with people from very, very different church backgrounds. Anyway, I'd just finished lecturing on 1 Corinthians 14, and then we had an afternoon off. And during that afternoon, I went to visit two very good friends of mine, Pishta and Gizika. Now, Gizika at the time was absolutely racked with ME, a glorious, glorious Christian woman, but absolutely devastated by ME. Could barely get off the bed. Some days she couldn't talk. Some days she couldn't move. Many days she was in a coma. And so I went to see her and Pishta the day before talking about the passage we've just read this morning. And all the time thinking, now how am I going to tell these students that the resurrection wasn't just then, it's now? How am I going to tell them that it actually wasn't just the first fruit, but that right now it changes our lives? And my beloved friend Gizika gave me the answer. I was just getting ready to leave her house when she said, no, wait, I was all in Serbian, but wait, she said. And she was bent almost double, and her hands were like claws because the ME had got such a grip of them. And she went down, and she, with great pain, she opened a drawer, and then she gave me this little piece of lace. She said, for Fiona. She'd never met her. She said, I've made it for her. And there, you see, was the resurrection translated into a broken life, where she wasn't a victim. She wasn't going to curl up and give up. But the resurrection was flowing out into her life and enabling her to be a positive person. You see, the new life of Christ makes our old lives new. And as a pastor, I get to see that again and again. I get to see faith whole when the body is crumbling. I get to see hope intact when people's plans fall apart. I get to see determination to serve God come what may. I get to see people asking why not rather than why when they're faced with a challenge from God. I get to see people getting up every time they fall down. I get to see the resurrection at work in them long before they die. I get to see it happening there and then. You see, it's the first fruit. It's the beginning of an incalculable harvest. It's the power of the resurrection flowing out with our, through our oh-so-ordinary lives right now. But, you know, if it affects us before we die, it affects us when we die too. It changes everything when the end comes. If the resurrection is true, then closing the door on our life here means that at that very second we open the door on our life there. It means that the end of life here is quite literally the start of life with him. Hence the key. And some of you will have heard some of this story on Friday morning. On Saturday, it'll be 5 months since my beloved Fiona died. 7 years of fighting cancer, multiple surgeries, lots of rounds of chemotherapy. And during those 7 years, many times bad news came at Easter. On two occasions, on Maundy Thursday. Last year, on Maundy Thursday, an oncologist at the Churchill told her nothing more could be done. Said there are no more curative options, and signed her over to the care of the Sue Ryder team who would look after her until she died. That was Maundy Thursday. And then came Easter Sunday. And bless her, my Fiona had many qualities, but early rising was not one of them. And she really, really needed her sleep at that point. And I was creeping out of the house at 6:45 to go to the sunrise service. And you know, you do that thing where you use the key to close the door so it doesn't even make a click. And it was literally as I did that, that I thought, next year, at Easter, she'll be up before I am. And so she is. You see, it has to count for that. It has to come down to that. You know, all this stuff we say about the resurrection, we either believe that the dead who die in Christ are raised or we don't. And I do. And it hurts. Goodness me, does it hurt. But this year, she's up at Easter before I am. Paul writes in another letter about the way that hope comes. He talks about it coming through suffering. He says, sufferings produce perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint, because God has poured his love out into our hearts. You see, the resurrection is the first fruit, is the beginning of an incalculable harvest. It is the secret to changing our lives now, and it is the thing that will change everything when the end comes for everyone who believes. Listen, later on, the water that's in there will drain away, and the church will be silent, and Peggy and all the rest of you will make your way to your own homes. But what is transacted here this morning is forever. To say yes to Christ, to say yes, I accept the preposterous notion that you rose from the dead because I see it work in your people, to affirm all of that in the enacted parable of baptism, to do those things is to embrace the outstretched arms of God and to feel him hug you back again. That's what it is. And with every fiber of my being, I urge you not to miss out on it. Today is Resurrection Day. Let's stand and sing together in Christ alone.
Father to have the opportunity to be born into a Christian family, faithful parents who told me about God and Jesus and gave me the opportunity to find my own way to the light of God. I'm thankful we still have each other to share the word of God and grew even stronger in our faith with Christ. I made the most amazing decision 23 years ago. I gave my heart completely to God. As a disciple of Jesus, my path hasn't been a smooth and easy road. I had many obstacles had overcome, but without the love of my Heavenly Father, I would have never managed to cope or get through any of it. I thank God for the good and the bad times in my life, as it has made me the person I am today. He is still working on me and walking with me on the journey until I reach my way back home. I never stopped believing or praying in the stormy days, as I knew the sun will shine again and God will never leave my side, as I am too precious to Him. My relationship with God has become very strong, and the closer I get to Him, the more I see things in a different way. By reading the following two scriptures in the Bible, John 3, verses 3 to 5, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, "If you are not reborn again out of water and spirit, you will not see the kingdom of God." Romans 6, verses 4, "We are buried with him through being baptized, and coming out of the water, we rose with him out of the dead. And then I realized God has made it clear I should be baptized as a believer." I was straight on the internet trying to search for a church in Newbury, but only London churches came up. I started praying and asked God to guide me to the right church to baptize me with the right words in the Bible. God works in wonderful ways in my life. I've seen it many times throughout my whole life. One Saturday morning on the 15th of July 2017, sitting in my regular hairdressers in the same seat I always sit when I get my hair cut, I looked outside and up. He made me see in the right time in my life a Christian bookshop, the shoemaker shop. I went into the shop and asked if he knew of a Christian church in Newbury who will baptize adult believers. Chris told me the Newbury Baptist Church and I should speak to Richard. So I attended my first Sunday here on the 16th of July 2017. And so today, I, Peggy Oxley, want to confess publicly my faith in Christ. I fully believe in my heart and soul that Jesus is the Son of God and he died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. I confess I was lost and I needed a Savior, and to obey his last command to me, I need to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as this is the sign of Jesus completing me with the final contract in faith as a reborn believer in Christ. It has been my heart desire to be baptized ever since I saw the command to me in the Bible. And today I will die with Jesus on that cross and rose with him from the dead to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
So, Peggy, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
Yes, I do.
Do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ?
Yes, I do.
Will you seek to live within the fellowship of his church and to serve him in the world?
Yes, I do.
Then come and be baptized. So, my sister Peggy, upon your profession of faith and at your own request, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay.
Let's stand together. We're going to sing "There Is a Hope."
There
And friend, thank you for your amazing love that you died for us and that through faith in you we are saved. Thank you that through you we can be born again by water and the Spirit and live in the sure and a certain hope of the eternal life with you. Lord, today we bless and pray for Peggy as she has made this public declaration of her faith in you. We pray for unending love and blessings on her and for her to be fruitful in the Spirit, for her to be rich in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We pray that her faith would continue to strengthen and grow day by day as she comes to know you more by more. Draw her close to you and fill her life so that you are all and nothing can harm her or break her. Give her your strength when times of trial and temptation come, and give her your unsurpassable peace when she faces grief and sadness. We pray that as a church family, we would support her as she needs throughout her journey, that we would encourage her, carry her burdens, and instruct her and that in turn she would bless us by doing the same. Lord, thank you for Peggy's testimony that she has shared with us, and help us to be bold and courageous, ready to share ours in turn with those who do not yet know you. Finally, Lord and Saviour, we pray for everyone in this service who has witnessed Peggy's baptism. We pray that you would pour out a fresh anointing of your Spirit on us, which would renew and refresh our faith and make us passionate for you, Lord. We pray for those who have felt particularly affected by what they have seen, that you would guide them and feed their curiosity, that you would open doors for them and and we pray that you would pave the way for them to continue on their journey towards you. Encourage them, Lord, and put the right people with the right words in their lives, that you might shine a light for them to see, and that they would hear you knocking on the door. Lord, we pray that your love and blessings would be gifts that they feel they are ready to receive. In the name of your Saviour Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Jenny. Years ago, I was trying to learn French. Well, actually, the first time I ever preached in French was in French, but that's another story. And one of the words that always confused me was the word that spelt occasion, occasion, because it doesn't mean occasion in French, it means opportunity. And I always used to get those confused. Listen, this has been a grand occasion. Church full of singing and a great sense of something happening. But it's meant to be an opportunity. It's meant to be an opportunity. Don't go home and say, well, wasn't that lovely? Go home and say, what am I going to do about it? This is Resurrection Day. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Because it could change everything. Come and speak to me afterwards if you feel that you need to take another step of faith, because some of you do. And you need to kind of clinch that deal with the Lord and say, yeah, I know. But now I need to take a step forward. Don't think this was easy for Peggy today. It wasn't. It wasn't easy, but it was right. And for some of you, it's the right thing too. We're going to stand and close with a great Easter hymn, Thine Be the Glory. Friends, this Easter day, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.